It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Yesterday, former Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan was fined $5,000 for obstructing a federal proceeding, which is a felony. She was not sentenced to any time in prison or probation. In December, a jury convicted Dugan for an April 2025 incident where federal agents showed up at the Milwaukee County Courthouse to arrest an undocumented immigrant who was appearing in Dugan's courtroom. Dugan argued with the agents and then led the man they were looking for through a side door in her courtroom. Federal prosecutors who brought the case against Dugan said she intentionally thwarted the agent's efforts. Dugan, at her sentencing yesterday, told the judge she was trying to maintain decorum and public safety in her courtroom. WPR reporter Sarah Lear was at the sentencing hearing at federal court in Milwaukee. Sarah, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
What was the mood like in the courtroom and before and after Judge Lynn Edelman announced the sentence?
There was definitely some tension. It's been a long case. The courtroom was packed. Reporters from outlets all across the nation, and there were also some supporters of Hannah Dugan. So people were listening quietly and very closely.
What was the final sentencing message from the prosecution?
The federal prosecutors emphasized that no one is above the law. They said that Hannah Dugan had abused her power as a judge and that she's someone who knew what she was doing was wrong, that she acted from a position of privilege. It's not a case where someone was driven to crime because of poverty or lack of options, the way they described it. They also said that, you know, she's a public official and public officials can't decide to thwart the law because of a personal policy preference. Because of all of that, they asked the judge to impose what they called a serious sentence. They didn't say exactly what that should be, although they did express agreement with the pre-sentence report, which found that it would be reasonable for her to get more than a year in prison based on guidelines for sentencing and, you know, similar types of crimes.
Now, outside the federal courthouse in Milwaukee, Dugan's defense attorney, Jason Luzak, he spoke to reporters after her sentencing. Let's hear a bit of that.
She's lost so much throughout this process. The collateral consequences to her were great, and we appreciate that the judge took that into consideration whenever he sentenced her to a fine only in this case.
So despite these consequences, is the defense taking this sentence as a win?
Yes, that's how they phrased it. They said they were pleased with the sentence and that they felt that Judge Lynn Edelman, a federal judge, made the right call in not sentencing her to prison time. They had asked for, you know, less than that. They had asked for time served. She spent a few hours in federal custody in April of 2025 when she was arrested on this charge. And they said, well, that's enough. She should get credit for that time in custody. And they've pointed out that she's resigned her judgeship. They say that she's faced threats and that because of all the attention in the case, she's kind of withdrawn from public life and it's kind of upended her daily routines.
Dugan did address the courtroom prior to her sentencing, speaking for the first time in the case since she was arrested. What did she have to say?
Right. She did not take the stand in her own defense, so this was her first time speaking in court in the case. She said, you know, this is a highly publicized case, and she said that she's been cast as both a scofflaw and a hero, but she said she's neither. She described herself as a public servant, just trying to do her job. She said it was a precarious and evolving situation on that day, that she doesn't want to be defined by the events of that day, but that she was trying to do her job. And she also kind of hinted that there was a situation where defendants, victims, witnesses were afraid to come to court if immigration agents were going to be there. And so she was trying to run her courtroom the best way that she knew how.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was WPR reporter Sarah Lear, who was at the sentencing yesterday of former Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan. Now, for analysis on the legal arguments and the ripple effect on the judiciary of this case, we're joined by John Gross, clinical professor of law at the University of Wisconsin Law School and director of the Public Defender Project. John, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
What stands out to you about yesterday's sentencing hearing?
Well, it was the first time we got to hear Judge Dugan's perspective, and I thought that was a valuable one to have, because as she pointed out, you know, the case was politically polarizing, and some people wanted to elevate her as a hero, and some people thought she was the villain, and I think it was refreshing to hear her take that she was just a public servant trying to handle a difficult situation, one that has legitimate concerns on both sides. And I thought that the judge appropriately sentenced her.
In a sentencing memo, federal prosecutors said that the federal guidelines called for a prison term of 15 to 21 months. They did not ask for a specific sentence. What considerations went into whether Dugan would ultimately serve prison time?
Well, I think one of the difficult things about sentencing her in this particular case was this was really an unprecedented case. The guidelines are supposed to ensure that people who are similarly situated receive similar sentences. But in this case, you know, the prosecution of a sitting state court judge under these circumstances really had no precedent. And so the guidelines were of limited value. And I think that's what Judge Adelman ultimately concluded and exercised discretion in this case to say, you know, based on the nature of the charges, Judge Dugan's past history of public service and all the collateral consequences, the other things that have happened to her as a result of this prosecution, that that type of lengthy jail sentence would not be appropriate.
One of Dugan's lawyers, Steve Biskupic, told the judge yesterday that federal officials had made an example of Dugan by going after her. What kind of message does this case in yesterday's sentencing send to other judges, send to the judiciary in Wisconsin and elsewhere?
Well, I actually think it goes beyond the judiciary. I mean, I think it's a message that anyone who interferes with a federal immigration agent in any way, the federal government will look for a way to prosecute you, even if that interference is very minor or for a reason that arguably is a legitimate public safety concern. And you saw that when Judge Dugan was publicly arrested and put in handcuffs in front of the courthouse. I mean, that was just something to do for show. And it definitely sends a message. And I would say this, I know the prosecution makes this claim that they want to say no one is above the law. But I don't think the issue is whether or not Judge Dugan is above the law, and she never claimed to be. I think the issue is about prosecutorial discretion. Mm. And federal statutes can be very broad, and you could prosecute many, many people for very minor things. And the question is, should prosecutors be using their incredible power to do that?
Judicial immunity. It's been rooted in law for a long time, protecting judges. What should we take into consideration about a judge's independence and public accountability? You know, where is the line between courtroom management and illegal conduct?
And this is one of the challenging things about this case and one of the real legal issues that it focuses on. And I think that will be a big part of the appeal that's filed in the case. You know, when Judge Dugan comes off of the bench and is in the hallway arguing with officers, she's not acting as a judge at that point. She's not entitled to judicial immunity for any of those acts that she does outside of the courtroom, any more than a judge who decides to drive under the influence could claim that they have some sort of judicial immunity. But the issue becomes more complicated when she's actually on the bench, because part of the allegation was that she obstructed this federal proceeding because she adjourned this case in a particular way and allowed the defendant to exit her courtroom from a door that is not typically used by the public. But when she's doing that, she is sitting on the bench as a state court judge running her calendar and running her courtroom. And so I think that's going to be one of the issues to focus on in the appeal. In that limited context, when she's on the bench, you know, running her courtroom, is she entitled to some form of judicial immunity? And that's the question that the appellate court will have to answer.
And say a little bit more there, because Dugan's lawyers do plan to appeal this case, hoping to get her conviction overturned. What sorts of arguments might we see in an appeals court that we didn't see at trial?
Well, I think you'll really see the same arguments that we've already seen at trial, because fundamentally, to be able to raise an issue on appeal, you have to have raised it in the trial court. And the two critical issues here that the defense raised was, one, this question of judicial immunity, And I'll note that the actual conviction, she was acquitted of one charge, convicted of the other. The actual conviction relates to her behavior on the bench. And so I think that is going to be a real focal point for the defense when they raise an appeal. Is she entitled to judicial immunity for that action? And the second claim the defense made quite vigorously during the trial was that one of Judge Adelman's jury instructions may have confused or potentially misled the jury or may have been inaccurate. And that could have led to this decision that they made where they acquitted her of one charge but convicted of the other. So I think both of those issues will be prominently featured in the appeal.
In our last moments together, I'm wondering this whole state power versus federal power and whether this clash between judges and federal power, I mean, does this case have a chilling effect on state sovereignty?
I mean, I think this goes back to Judge Dugan's original concern about immigration enforcement, federal immigration enforcement in state courthouses. If people are afraid to come to the courthouse because they fear being detained or deported, that's going to have a chilling effect on our ability at the state level to provide justice to people in court proceedings, criminal and civil. And we're not just talking about people accused of crimes who might be afraid to come to court. We're talking about victims of crimes. We're talking about witnesses. We're talking about people who are trying to file claims for lost wages against an employer. If these folks feel that entering the courthouse is basically entering a federal immigration detention center, they're not going to come to the courthouse. And that puts a lot of people at risk, a lot of vulnerable members of our population. And that really is the chilling effect that was at the heart of Judge Dugan's protest over what immigration was doing and a very legitimate concern.
John, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
John Gross is Associate Professor of Law at the University of Wisconsin Law School and Director of the Public Defender Project. Earlier, we heard from WPR reporter Sarah Lear, who covered the sentencing of former Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan for obstructing federal immigration agents.